welcome to episode 13 of the Nightlight Stories podcast, recorded on October 13, 2009. This podcast tells one original story each episode that will light up the imagination of children of all ages, anytime, anywhere. I am your host and narrator, Miss Mal. What a great time of year this is. We hope you are enjoying all the fun decorations on people's houses and in their front yards. I know for us, the fall decorations make driving to the grocery store a little more exciting. Our next story, The Patchwork Pumpkin, was written by Chris and Melissa Bouguet. It is our very first two-part story. As you listen to this story, consider the following. What is your favorite fall activity? The Patchwork Pumpkin by Chris and Melissa Bouguet. I found one! I found one! Yelled the little girl across the sea of pumpkins and waves of vines. Look how enormous it is! Check out this perfectly flat side. Ooh, and look at this great stem, perfectly curved to carry, said the girl to herself. She felt the prickles of the stem press into her hand as she lifted it off the ground. The girl heaved the pumpkin up into her arms, using her knees to balance the weight against her blue overalls, and then waddled down the dusty road to the farm stand with her arms wrapped around its girth. She greeted the woman in front of the scale and plopped the pumpkin down with a large thud and clank. "Isn't it perfect, Miss Karen?" she asked, gleaming at the pumpkin. The woman pulled off a pair of gardening gloves, placed them on the counter, and looked down at the scale. She carefully turned it, inspecting it closely. As she brushed off a particularly large dried spot of dirt, she replied, "Yes, this one is perfect. Your father will be pleased. Now go on, Millie, give me your best shot. What fun fact have you got for me today?" "Miss Karen, did you know that a pumpkin is a fruit and that only when it's carved is it called a jack-o'-lantern? The whole tradition of carving pumpkins was brought to us by the Irish. They used to carve potatoes and turnips." "Huh, well, I didn't know that," replied Miss Karen as she wiped the pumpkin down with a damp rag. "Tell me your secret, Millie. Where do you learn so much about pumpkins?" "Books in school, mostly," she giggled. "But that little nugget of information came from the History Channel." Millie wrapped her arms around the pumpkin and leaned back, lifting it off the scale. "Hey, Miss Karen, have you seen my father?" asked Millie. "I really want to show him this one." "Oh, yeah," replied Miss Karen as she pulled her work gloves back on. "You just missed him. He just headed up to the west field to tend to the crops and to try and scare off the crows with the tractor. Those crows have been causing some havoc."
"Okay, Miss Karen, thanks. Have a great rest of the day," said Millie as she waddled out of the stand and onto the road leading to the west end of the farm.
She tried to run, but with the pumpkin in her hands, it was awkward. She was nervous that if she went too fast, she might slip and turn the pumpkin into pulp. It took her a while, but she finally reached the edge of the west field. As she crested the top of the hill, she saw her father bent down low by one of the tractor's giant wheels. She didn't realize just how huge that wheel was until she saw her dad crouched next to it.
"Daddy! Daddy! Check out the pumpkin I picked!" she yelled excitedly.
Millie's father turned his head and Millie watched as a huge smile came over his face.
"Hey, there's my girl! What have you got there?"
"The perfect pumpkin for us to carve together. Look at this flat side. Carfection!"
The farmer stood up, brushing off his jeans and flannel shirt, and chuckled. "Millie, you're right. That is just about the most perfect pumpkin. I mean, carve... what is that word you used?"
"Carfection. It means it's the perfect carving pumpkin."
"Yes, yes, you and your creative made-up words. Yes, well, that is the most carfection pumpkin I've ever seen. I can always count on you to pick them out every year. Just when I think you can't outdo the pumpkin from the year before, there you go and find an even better one."
"Can we carve it tonight?" asked Millie.
"Sure, darling. I just have to get working on this list of chores. I already milked the cows this morning, but I've got to water the fields, clean the horse stalls, and run the plow through this field to scare off those darn tootin' crows, and then make a scarecrow to keep them away, if I can get this tractor fixed, that is. Once all that is done, I can carve the pumpkin with my best girl.
All right, Dad, I can't wait. This is going to be so much fun. I'll head home and set the pumpkin up for tonight, said Millie, not really noticing the worried look on her dad's face. For a third time in so many hours, Millie arched her back, put one hand on the pumpkin stem and the other hand on its bottom, and lifted. Cradling the pumpkin in her arms, she made the journey down the road to her house, which was nestled on the corner of the farm. As she walked, Millie kept her mind busy with thoughts of how to carve the pumpkin. Did she want triangles or circles for the eyes? Should the nose be square or more of an oval-looking thing? Or should they make it the scariest-looking jack-o'-lantern ever? She couldn't wait to talk to her father more about it. Despite carrying a heavy pumpkin down a long, dusty road, Millie smiled as she remembered how her and her dad carved the pumpkin last year. She remembered how they discussed the shapes, drew it out on paper, and how they laughed together the entire time. Not being old enough to handle the carving knife, her father had cut out the shapes, and she had used a spoon to complete the finishing touches. She remembered the fresh pumpkin-y aroma that came rushing out once her dad had carved and pulled off the top. She remembered the goopy innards in the pumpkin all over her father's hands, and how he had grabbed her mother by the face, kissing her, leaving two orange-colored handprint of pumpkin slime on each cheek. She remembered the salty taste of the pumpkin seeds. Most of all, she remembered how her and her dad had laughed and laughed. She couldn't wait to do it all again this year. Millie walked up the front porch of her house and met her mother, who was coming out carrying a shirt.
"Oh, there you are, Millie. I'm glad you're home. Can you feed Chester? Your father just called. He got oil all over his shirt. He says it's an awful mess, and he doesn't want to get it all over everything for the rest of the day. He asked me to drive this one out to him."
Millie placed the pumpkin on the front porch, right next to Chester, the orange tabby cat, who sat lazily licking his paws on the swing.
"You bet, Ma. I'll get her fed right after I get this pumpkin set up for carving," agreed Millie.
"Oh, I don't know about that, honey. Your dad's awfully busy with the chores today. I'm not sure he'll be back in time to do it tonight," said her mother, shaking her head despairingly.
"But, Ma, I just talked to Dad and showed him the pumpkin. He told me he could do it tonight," begged Millie.
"Okay, Millie. Well, I'll ask him, too, when I go give him this shirt," she said. "Now go on and feed Chester." Millie's heart filled with hope, and she ran inside to get Chester's cat food, along with some old newspapers, to set up the perfect carving mat. Millie was busy rewashing her pumpkin, wiping it down with soapy water, when her mother drove up back from the field. She looked up to see her mother carrying her father's oil-stained flannel shirt and eagerly asked,
"Dad said he'd carve the pumpkin tonight, didn't he, Ma?"
"He told me to tell you that he would be home as soon as he could," answered her mother.
"Hmph," said Millie. "I know what that means. No carving tonight."
"Now, Millie, it doesn't necessarily mean that. It means that he'll be home as soon as he can. Remember now, patience is a virtue," Millie said somberly, finishing one of her mother's favorite phrases. Millie waited anxiously, spending most of the chilly October afternoon on her tree swing, collecting fallen chestnuts and seeing how high she could throw a football straight up into the air. She came inside only once to eat a quick dinner with her mother, and then was back outside to listen for the sound of a pickup truck on gravelly dirt. As the sun sank lower and lower, so did her hopes of spending the evening carving her pumpkin with her dad. She felt sorry for her father, having to spend so much time fixing the tractor, and she was sure that put him behind schedule with getting his other work done. She knew he, whatever he was doing, was probably sad, too, that he wouldn't get to carve the pumpkin tonight. She went to bed that night a little disappointed, but knew that she'd just have to wait one more night to carve the pumpkin with her dad. She drifted off to sleep, deciding on a scary face for her pumpkin with small slits for eyes, a rectangular nose, and a wicked-looking smile with triangle shapes as fangs. That night, as she slept, she dreamt of a ferocious-looking jack-o'-lantern terrorizing a neighborhood of trick-or-treaters. As Millie rolled over in her bed, she saw the first rays of sunshine peeking through her window. It was the crowing of the rooster that finally made her force her eyes completely open. She pulled her quilted cover back and swung her legs over the side of her bed. Her feety fleece pajamas saved her from feeling the bite of the cold floor. She shuffled down the stairs, rubbing the last little bit of sleep from her eyes. As she took the last step, she heard the deep, muffled voice of her father talking with her mother. She stopped and listened to the conversation. "They're eating a big bit of our crop this year. I really need to try and do something about them today, but there's still so much other stuff to do," she heard her father say. "Bit by bit, day by day, honey, it will all get done. It always does," said her mother reassuringly. "I know, you're right, but it seems like everything was against me yesterday. First the tractor breaking down, and then the oil. By the way, thanks for trying to get out those oil stains. It was just par for the course that I ruined my favorite shirt yesterday." "Honey, finish your eggs and drink your coffee. You're not going to get anything done on an empty stomach," said Millie's mom as she refreshed his cup of coffee. Millie came around the corner, ran into her father's lap, and gave him a much-needed hug. "Morning, Daddy," she said as she squeezed him tightly. "Morning, Millie. Sleep well?" he asked.
"Yeah, I did. Yesterday was a busy day." "Sounds like it was busy for you, too," said Millie as she wriggled off his lap.
"It was," agreed her father, "and today is going to be another one. In fact, I'd better get dressed. Those cows aren't going to milk themselves."
"Daddy, did you see that I left the pumpkin on the porch?" Millie said, sweeping her arm around, intending to point at the front door, but instead smashing it into her father's coffee cup resting on the kitchen table. Coffee sloshed out of the cup and landed all over her dad's red-striped pajama pants.
"Ouch! Hut! Hut! Where's a rag?" howled her father as he danced around trying to cool off his pants. Millie's mother, trying to suppress a giggle, handed him a dish rag and took the empty cup from him as he hopped around the room trying to cool the hot coffee that was quickly staining his favorite pair of pajama pants. When he stopped, he looked up to find both of them laughing, which made him start laughing too. "I'm going to run upstairs and get changed," he said as he tossed the rag into the sink.
"Hey, Dad, what about the pump?" started Millie.
"Hold on. Let me go get changed. Then you can talk to me about whatever you want," replied her dad. Millie sat at the table and ate her breakfast, waiting for her father to come back down. When he did, Millie's mother handed him another cup of coffee, this time in a plastic tumbler with a cover. "Good idea," he said, with a coy smile, to which Millie's mother replied, "Mothers know best." "Is it really almost 5:30? Those cows must be busting at the seams," said Millie's dad, kissing the top of Millie's head.
"But, Daddy, I wanted to ask you," began Millie.
"I've got to run before the cows have a milk urgency," said Millie's father with a wink. "But hey, Mill, I've got a surprise for you on the front porch. Have a productive, thoughtful day, girls. Love you." Millie hopped down off her seat and ran over to the kitchen door. Peeking out, she could see the frost that had covered the grass, making it look like someone sprinkled each blade with sugar. She pushed the door open and walked out into the chilly air, anxiously looking for the surprise. Then she saw her surprise sitting in the middle of the porch swing. Her stomach lurched. There, swaying forward and back, was a happy-looking jack-o'-lantern carved from her pumpkin. Circular eyes gleamed above the rectangular nose, which hovered just above a mouth full of square-shaped teeth. The jack-o'-lantern grinned at her goofily as it swung in the chilly breeze. This wasn't the scary-looking jack-o'-lantern she had envisioned carving with her father. This wasn't the abomination she wanted to use to scare the pants off any would-be trick-or-treater. This was a pumpkin that fit better in a baby's playroom. "He was so sad that he missed carving with you last night," said her mother, who had come up behind Millie to place her hands on her shoulders, "that he stayed up late to make it up to you." Realizing that her father had tried to do something special for her made Millie's heart soften.
"Yeah, I know, but I really wanted to do it with him, just like last year," said Millie. "How could he do it without me?"
"You told me yesterday that you really wanted it carved that night. When your father got home and you were already asleep in bed, I suggested he carve it as a surprise for you," explained Millie's mom.
"Oh," said Millie sadly, "I suppose that explains things, but I really wanted to do it together."
"Well, you can always pick out another pumpkin," said her mother.
"Nah, there's only one perfect pumpkin each year, and that was it," said Millie, gesturing towards the jack-o'-lantern. "I don't want to pick out another pumpkin. That pumpkin was perfect, and I really wanted to make it into something super scary this year. Now it just looks silly."
"Well," said her mother, "beauty is in the eye of the beholder."
"Another saying, Mom?" asked Millie, feeling like she didn't really want to hear another one of her mom's phrases.
"It means that the way you see something isn't necessarily how someone else sees it. Maybe your dad thought it was scary looking. Personally, I'm with you. I think that thing looks sillier than a silk tutu on a scarecrow, but that doesn't mean your dad sees it that way," said her mom.
"Hey, Mom, where was Dad going today after milking the cows?" asked Millie, suddenly struck with a moment of inspiration.
"I think he said he was going to be pitching the hay in the loft over the dairy barn today."
"Okay, thanks, Mom," said Millie as she ran into the house to get dressed for the day.
We hope you enjoyed the first part of the story. Stay tuned for the conclusion next week. Until then, consider the following. What do you think Millie's idea is? We would like to send out bright birthday wishes to Aunt Kathleen of Valencia, Spain, and Nanny of Danvers, Mass. As always, I look forward to watching the glow grow brighter with the many stories we can share together.